two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Haven't seen the sky so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. Call me illogical, I just don't care.
Hey, hey,
hey, hey. It's just a sunny day.
Hey, hey, hey.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos and Ton Bettis with you this morning. Number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. Phone lines are open. The number you can text, 57500. Anton, we're still getting a number of texts about that boom that was heard across the Wasatch Front at about 8:33 this morning. A lot of people now saying, oh, maybe it was a meteor, you know, and I've checked the meteor website. There have been people who have reported seeing a meteor. But again, we have no confirmation of that, and we are still working to find out exactly what that was. Was it a sonic boom, or what exactly that boom was that was felt so widespread?
Yeah, the only thing I can figure, and it's not out of the scope of reality for meteors to do that. You know, I've read about incidences, like there was one in Russia that was so powerful that it knocked trees down in the forest, and you could see the pattern of where it flew by all the knocked down trees. And so depending on the size and things, they do have the ability to rattle windows and things like we experienced this morning.
But right now we have no confirmation of that. Still working to get confirmation on exactly what that was that we felt earlier today. It's time for our WaterWise Tip at 10.
WaterWise Tips at 10 with the KSL Greenhouse Show. We save you time, money, and work in your yard and garden.
And this morning you wanted to talk about mulch and how mulch can really help you save water.
I really wanted to. We talked about this in the spring a little bit, but when we talked to people about their vegetables, you know, the cucumbers and the tomatoes, and why are the cucumbers bitter, and why are my tomatoes struggling, and why is their blossom end rot? You know, that was what kind of brought it on, because those mulches can help keep the water at a more even level in the soil.
Which helps solve a lot of problems that people are having right now.
It does, but when you are planting landscape plants in flower beds and other landscape beds, those mulches can be really important because they can really reduce the amount of watering you need to do. But then, let's say you've been watering 3 days a week and it's been a Monday, Wednesday, Friday thing. If you miss your Wednesday and it's Thursday, that mulch will help protect the plants if you miss a day.
Yeah, but it's fall. Do we really want to be putting down mulch now?
You can. And the mulch will slowly decompose into the soil, and it helps improve the soil underneath. And so there's that added benefit. But along the lines of mulch, the other thing we talk about quite a bit is compost. And with the gardens now being in harvest, you know, tomatoes are on, cantaloupes, watermelons. As those crops finish up, let's say you pull all your zucchini and yellow squash out, then you could put compost down and just gently work that into the soil. And how compost helps us with water conservation is that it allows water to percolate more deeply into the soil, and it allows the roots of plants to also grow more deeply into the soil. And when that water, instead of staying on the surface, is down 6 or 8 inches, it doesn't evaporate as quickly, and you don't need to water as much.
And we're back to soil prep actually is just one of the keys to having a nice yard. Even if you, you know, you think, oh, I'm not going to plant anything because it's, you know, we don't have any water. That soil prep, though, can just, you know, add a lot of, I want to say, efficiency to your
landscape. It can. And no matter what you're planting, you know, whether it's a lawn or a garden or perennials, the preparing the soil correctly ahead of time will just make your experience so much easier. And I've brought this up a little bit in the past, but J.D. Gunnell and I were looking at some yards, and we ran into a few of them that there was really no easy way to fix what was going on. And J.D. just mentioned, you know, how do you tell somebody that whoever planted the lawn 20 years ago didn't do the right preparation, and you're dealing with it 20 years after the fact? And so that can happen a lot, whether it's a tree or a shrub or a perennial or a lawn. This proper soil preparation so that your roots can grow deeply into the soil, water can penetrate the soil, will make things a lot healthier. And I know this is the water-wise segment. It will help with water conservation, but it'll also make your plants a lot healthier.
Yeah, there's nothing like finding construction debris and figuring out that's why you have these dead spots in your lawn.
Yeah, you've got this weird-shaped dead spot that appears every summer, and you dig down and find a weird piece shape of drywall down there or some old metal or whatever it is. And so prepping that soil is just so important.
Right. Anything else you want to add as far as water efficiency?
No, I think that will do it for this time. The list that we're posting is actually from the University of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And so there will be a few things on there that may not quite apply here because the differences in climate, but I like to look at these different lists from various universities on their tips because sometimes I think we miss a few things or didn't think about something. But so the one we put up there does talk about mulch and compost, but it has a lot of other suggestions.
Okay, and you can find that right now on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. And, you know, if you've not been to our Facebook page, it has a lot of fun stuff. I mean, we put up your quick tip there every week, which is really your tip for the week on things that are happening right now. So last week, for example, you had what? Rose of Sharon.
Yes. Rose of Sharon's a great shrub. It blooms the last half of the summer. You pretty much water it and can walk away. It tolerates low nutrient soils. It doesn't like to be overwatered. That's the one way to kill it. And so, and there's lots of newer varieties of Rose of Sharon. There's a series called Lil Kim that has several colors of flowers in it that will get 4 or 5 feet tall, which is about a third to half the size of regular Rose of Sharon. There's some new columnar Rose of Sharon out that are quite interesting. So Rose of Sharon's a great one to plant in locally just because it does so well.
Yeah. Anyway, the Facebook page is a great place to go get all of that information. You can also see all of the fun videos that we put together to help you not only just with information about what's happening in your yard this week, but fun ideas, fairy garden videos, bindweed videos, all sorts of things. Now, this past week, we put up a video on all the problems people have been having with their tomatoes. So a lot of interesting stuff on our Facebook
page. I noticed
that
one's been shared 22 or 23 times so far, and lots of people concerned about that. But what's going on with the Greenhouse Show is on Facebook. We do have our webpage and our YouTube channel.
Yep, that's kslnewsradio.com/greenhouse or, yeah, the KSL Greenhouse Show on YouTube. We're going to take a break, come back with your calls and your text questions. Phone line is open right now, 801-575-8255. You can text us 57500.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Chaleos, along with Ton Bettis, we are taking your calls. And the phone lines are open at 801-575-8255. And we've been watching a number of different sites and trying to find out more information about what did cause that boom that was heard across the Wasatch Front. And the National Weather Service is actually bolstering the fact that it could actually have been a meteor, calling it a flash that was seen across the sky. We are still working to confirm that. However, there are a number of there are pictures, video is on social media of a possible meteor. So we'll continue to try to confirm that for you, but just giving you an idea of what that may have been that you heard at about 8:33 this morning. Let's go to our next caller or texter who wants to know, what is the best type of purple a shrub with purple flowers or a tree to plant in this environment? They want purple flowers.
Oh boy, probably crab apples are going to be one of the only ones that will have a darker, it'll be more maybe of a reddish purple. Mm-hmm. But that would be the best. Rose of Sharon would be another one they could look at. There's some, not true purple, but lavender fading into purple colors on Rose of Sharon. Some of the hibiscus, the perennial hibiscus might do that for them, but there's not a lot with a true purple flower. Lilac would be about the only one I can think
bloomer,
of.
Though.
It is.
Yeah. Next listener says they have an old Canby raspberry patch that probably needs to be replaced. The berries get smaller every year. They can't put raspberries elsewhere in the yard due to a lack of sunshine. What could they do, or what do they need to do to sterilize the soil before replanting new raspberry starts?
If they're going to actually want to plant in the same place, they'll need to wait until next year. So they can take the raspberries out this year, but next year they would lay clear plastic, UV-resistant plastic, down over the area and secure it around the edges, and then just let the soil cook all summer long. And then the next year they could go back in with raspberries.
Next listener is in Garden City. They have a plant that has very large elephant ear-like and very sick stems, and they don't want them. How do they get rid of them, and when is the best time? What is that? What do you think?
It could be any number of things.
Oh, there are a lot of things that have elephant ear leaves?
In the forested areas and in cooler areas, yes.
Okay.
So I bet just a general herbicide. I mean, the other thing they could try doing is digging it. But, you know, general herbicides will kill most plants, and those would be the two options.
Okay. Next person says, how do I kill summer Bermuda grass that's in my lawn?
There's a couple different products. There's one called Turflon Ester. That is Turflon Ester. And that will suppress Bermuda grass. And then Bio Advanced makes another product called Bermuda Grass Control. And it should be more suppression. But between the two of them, if you regularly apply for a couple of years, they will control Bermuda grass.
Next listener lives in Sandy. They want to plant a shade tree in their front yard. What type of tree would you recommend, and is there one that is faster growing?
Boy, I wish I knew the size of their front yard, because, you know, a shade tree for me is something that gets 40 or 50 feet, and that's going to overwhelm most front yards.
Mm-hmm.
And so something medium-sized, maybe Pacific Sunset Maple, or a common hackberry. Those would be two. If it's a smaller yard, maybe Canadian or Canada Red Chokecherry would be another one that they could look at.
Next listener says they need to cut back a well-established, they're not talking about pruning, they're cutting back, Oregon grape Mahonia. Can they safely do so in the fall?
You want to cut those back in the spring if you can. If you do that in the fall, it could damage them because they try to regrow and it's getting cold and it delays dormancy. if they have to, they can try and see what happens. And the sooner the better. But if they can wait, I would rather see them do it sometime in April or May.
When is the right time to prune laurels, and how much should they prune?
Pruning is best done in the spring, and they need to use renewal pruning, because if you go in and give a laurel a haircut, you cut a lot of the leaves in half. And so you've got this broadleafed evergreen plant with all these chopped up leaves. And so you go into the middle of the plant and take out about 20% of the largest branches, 20% of the branches, starting at the largest ones every year. And that will keep the size down and keep the plants looking more natural.
Next listener says their Satsuma plum, is that correct? Has a lot of water sprouts, 4 feet long or so. When is the best time to cut them off, and should they be cut off at their base?
You can cut those off through June and July when they start to form. It's because the trees are now starting to go dormant, I would not go in and just arbitrarily take all of them out. They also have a tendency to form in trees that are maybe pruned a little too much, but sometimes trees just throw them off or grow them also. So June and July, or sometime in mid-March.
Next listener says, can plum trees get a borer in the trunk? And if so, what do you do for that?
Absolutely. Oh. And it depends on the kind of borer. So flat-headed borers can get in there, as well as greater peach tree borer. It's probably greater peach tree borer, but without knowing what kind, it's hard to say. But if you have a borer in there, it usually indicates the tree is stressed, especially flat-headed borer. And so what you would do is download the fact sheets for flat-headed borer and greater peach tree borer to see if you can figure out which one, and then use the recommendations in those fact sheets to control them.
So many pests.
Yes.
That's all I can say. Next listener says, there are long, skinny mushrooms in their lawn. They're small with white stems and brown with sticky tops. Are they a problem? And is there anything they should do?
I'm not going to touch that. I just rake them up and throw them away.
Okay. Don't touch them, though.
Well, when I say that, you've got a one in three chance of them being edible.
Yeah,
so if you don't know what you're doing with mushrooms, it truly is
Russian
roulette.
They don't want to eat them. They just wonder if they're a problem.
Yeah. It just means there's organic matter in the soil that is being decomposed. They may look at their watering. If you have mushrooms, it's usually an indication of a really thick thatch layer and maybe some overwatering.
Next listener says they put mulch around their garden plants. So when they pull the plants, should they rake back the mulch and then put compost down, or just mix with the mulch? Or
no, the mulch is already putting the organic matter into the soil. And so all I would do is pull the plants out and just re-spread the mulch out. You'll lose about 1 inch a year of mulch to decomposition. And so if you put 3 inches down, generally most of it will be gone in 3 years.
Next listener says Bermuda grass is taking over their lawn. What can they do to get rid of it?
We covered the other text a few minutes ago, but the turf lawn ester and the bare Bermuda grass control would be the two. I guess bare changed to bioadvanced. The bioadvanced Bermuda grass control would be the two products.
I thought two texts. They're definitely having a problem worth repeating.
It's funny. We haven't had anybody ask about Bermuda grass all summer. And then all of a sudden today we've had five or six texts about
it. Suddenly a problem. And happy birthday, Kyle. Kyle is 93. Oh, my goodness. Sorry, Kyle. Kyle is 39 today.
No, he's sorry, 93. Kyle. I've decided he's 93.
Yeah, boy. Now we've really... They wanted a birthday shout-out. I don't think that's what they had in mind. Let's see. What else do we have here this morning?
We do birthday shout-outs for $25 each to our Venmos.
No.
We really don't, but...
What do you think of soil pep as a mulch?
It's fine. If you lived in a windy area, it'll blow away, but otherwise it's okay.
Next listener says, did they hear you say that autumn blaze maple is troublesome and needs a lot of iron?
It can. It's among the maples that are native to the East Coast that we like to grow here. The autumn blaze is a little better for our climate, but it still oftentimes needs supplemental iron.
Next person says they'd like to plant a common hackberry in their yard. They're in Emory County. Can they do so this year?
They can. It'll be fine.
All right. We're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Our phone lines are open. You can call us at 801-575-8255, or you can text your questions at 57500.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.